I am the best wrestler in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day because Paul Heyman saw something in me that nobody else wanted to admit. I've grabbed so many of Vincent K. McMahon's imaginary brass rings that it's finally dawned on me that they're just that. They're completely imaginary. The only thing that's real is me, and the fact that day in and day out, for almost 6 years, I have proved to everybody in the world that I am the best on this microphone, in that ring, even in commentary. Nobody can touch me.
Hey there, wrestling fans, it is I,
CFG,
here with a brand new episode of CFG Wrestling Reviews, because I'm back, and this is episode 46, and as we go down the road to episode 50, well, it's time to go a bit extreme. Well, not quite extreme yet, but I'll be next week. But we start off with an episode I wanted to get out last week before Payback, as we take a look at the first time John Cena made himself famous for I Quit matches. We're going to look at Judgment Day 2005. So, yes, I'm kind of back after a month and a half absence around that. I mean, month and a half, somewhere around that area. Which I apologize. You know, usually this type of stuff happens in February. It's like every year I have I have several breaks throughout a year, you know. Usually it happens in February, like I said. This time, I guess it happened in April. And by these things, I mean computer problems. I've actually sort of made the joke that, you know, every year around February, something happens to my computer, which, you know, it needs its yearly checkup. And this year, I thought I like bypassed it. I'm like, well, I know I have to maybe at some point take it in or whatever, but I'll take it in for get it all clean and everything. And nope, April. I mean, mind you, I was waiting for school to be done to do it, but yeah, April comes around, both laptop and computer. Laptop just needed a checkup. I'm very careful about memory, and I'm very sensitive to it. So if I see computer losing hard drive memory that I can't account for, I start to worry. But looks laptop's fine. I'm actually recording on my desktop, but I'm probably gonna have to take it back in. I've been having an issue with audio not being able to play on either devices on the computer or on the internet. I think, though, I'm starting to find the culprit has to do with the internet. Nobody's been able to figure out what the hell is wrong with it, but I'm thinking I'm starting to trace it to the Flash player. This is not the Hey, Let's Talk About Tommy's Computer Problems podcast. This is Motherfucker, Get to Talk About Wrestling podcast. So just an explanation to why I've been gone for the past month and a half. And boy, have we had so much. I mean, we had Extreme Rules, which was okay. And then we had the build up to Payback, which was okay. And I'm recording this on this very day, which means we've had a couple of good Raws. including what I thought could be top would be Raw of the Year, in which in Montreal, in which one Mr. Sami Zayn made his debut against John Cena and promptly threw his shoulder out of his socket while trying to get the crowd to pump up. And obviously, anybody who's seen that match, it was a wonderful match, despite him being injured. But damn, Sami Zayn, Martin Grammatica himself. I mean, it was a wonderful match, and I was losing my mind. I was on Twitter with Maddie. He was losing his mind. The only criticism I have of that is, goddamn, Brett, you couldn't remember what? Four lines? I understand you're not the best talker in the world, but you couldn't memorize four goddamn lines? But I didn't think that'd be tough. Until last night, when Kevin fucking Owens appeared and to apparently accepted Cena's open challenge. He didn't accept that, but we did get the good news that him and Cena will face off at Elimination Chamber. Goddamn. Nobody knew that was coming. People were losing their mind on the internet. I know Maddie was. Maddie was marking out and creaming. Hairball was marking out and creaming. Everybody I knew was marking out and creaming. And I just want to say this. Don't ever tell me that Cena doesn't put people over again. He said, "Hey, Kevin Owens, you're going to be a great superstar. Here, let me help you out." And I'm not saying Kevin Owens doesn't put himself over, but goddamn, tell me another superstar that would have allowed himself. With the resume that Cena had, wouldn't have been Orton. Wouldn't have been Triple H. Hell, apparently, wouldn't even been Taker. Cena's the one with the resume who is willing to help put the younger guys over. So don't tell me he doesn't put people the hell over. I mean, goddamn. Cena just handed every wrestling fan who hates him a gift. And you really should be thankful that he loved it. I mean, goddamn. Elimination Chamber is just going to be awesome. I am so psyched for Elimination Chamber. I mean, a WWE Network exclusive. You're going to have the tag team Elimination Chamber, which, by the way, somebody needs to have that quote and play it somewhere, or give it to me. Goddamn, the New Day, awesome. With the whole them talking about, you know, there's five tag teams, there's five. And Kofi's like, five? Five? And then Kofi says, wait, three wasn't enough? They needed five? And it's like, God damn it. Yes. Yes. Oh, they're so good. The New Day is really starting to shine as really good heels. And that tag team Elimination Chamber, the way it's shaping up, you know, with New Day, Cesaro and Kid, you're going to have the Lucha Dragons. You're going to have Los Matadores. You're going to have the Ascension and the Primetime Players. God damn. I mean, this match is going to be a clusterfuck because normal Elimination Chamber has six people. This is going to have 12 people in the match. I cannot wait to see what happens. I mean, my God. I'm very interested to see how they do this because it's never been done with tag teams before. And then you have basically the Intercontinental Championship, which is going to have Rusev, Dolph Ziggler, Sheamus, Ryback, R-Truth, and was it Bray Wyatt that was put in? I can't remember. I'm forgetting who the last person is, so I apologize. Oh, it was King Barrett. Yeah, King Barrett was put in there. So that's going to be very interesting. By the looks of it, we probably are going to have something with Bo Dallas and Neville there. And They're going to do something with the title, heavyweight title. Looks like probably is going to be Ambrose and Rollins. But goddamn it, I think everybody's going to say the match of the night and the match that everyone's going to be looking forward to is Kevin Owens versus John Cena. Well, that is if Joe doesn't kill him first. Because I'm sure everybody's heard the rumor that Samoa Joe has signed a contract with the WWE. Again, this is rumor. And that Samoa Joe is going to appear on TakeOver Unstoppable. I cannot wait for tomorrow night. So, as you can see, we've had a busy month and a half. And, see, I'm still befuddled by last night and Kevin Owens. So, I really have not a lot to say about it, so... So with that, let's move on to, of course, our main topic for today, which is Judgment Day 2005. This, of course, happened in the heyday of John Cena's popularity. He had just recently won his WWE title. In fact, I think, I want to say it's one of his first title defenses for sure. I can't remember if it is his exact first title defense. Because if I remember, I think his first title defense was a First Blood match with JBL, and then JBL won it, and then this was an I Quit match. This was either the first or this is the second. But, you know, the I Quit match between JBL and Joe Cena, I had not seen this pay-per-view before. So this is a pay-per-view where I have no memories of. Because while I was watching at this time, I mean, I knew the results, I just never saw the matches. Because again, you know, you only have enough money for one pay-per-view a year, you get WrestleMania. Or, in my case, maybe two, and you get WrestleMania and Royal Rumble. So, I actually went into this with a clean slate. So, why don't you say we get into it and we'll discuss all of that. WWE Judgment Day 2005 took place on May 22nd, 2005, in the Target Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota, to an attendance of 12,000. I'm doing a whole thing to where I have internet on my laptop and I'm not using the internet on my desktop. Why, my desktop seems to be working. Get computer problems. The sponsor was Clarisau, because, you know, nothing says wrestling like pimples. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get into WWE Judgment Day 2005. Not Sunday Night Heat. SmackDown had its own Saturday Night Show in Velocity. You had, or in this case, it took place on Sunday because it was before the pay-per-view. But you had, you get the point. Nunzio versus Akito in a cruiserweight contest that went about 3.5 minutes with Nunzio winning. I really don't have any memory of it again. Velocity and Sunday Night Heat are not on the network. Again, we'd like to tell WWE, please put this stuff on the network because we'd like to go and watch it. Anyways, our first match of the night is for the WWE Tag Team Championships. As the new tag team champions of Eminem, of Mercury, Melina, or Mercury, Nitro, and Melina, face off against Hardcore, Don't You Dare Call Me Sparkplug Holly, and Charlie Haas. I thought this was a very good opening match. Both teams are very strong. You know, Eminem, you know, Mercury, Nitro, were a very good heel team. You know, everybody hated them. I mean, I thought it was just a great gimmick. Because, you know, again, the sort of the Hollywood stars, the, you know, the whole entourage, like, type of thing. You know, we're movie stars. We're just better than you. Thing. It's one of those things that instantly gets good heat if they are able to play it right, and they played it right. And, you know, they had good chemistry together. And, of course, both Hardcore and I thought Charlie Haas provided a good challenge for them. Or at least they seemed like they were a good challenge for them as somebody who, you know, they weren't a team, but they had good chemistry and they worked well and they had the champions on the ropes, but were not able to get them because, again, interference. And it was a really good job of setting up the, you know, Eminem as a great heel tag team. And there was some really good spots in it. Charlie Haas, I thought, really shined in his spotlight. He had all the great maneuvers. Charlie Haas is one of those wrestlers I think WWE unfortunately missed on. It's like, he did a lot of great work, and I guess, again, the whole creative has nothing for you unfortunately hurt him, and which is sad, because I think he could have been that next Kurt Angle type of guy. And I think that is something WWE has really missed since Kurt Angle left. I don't think they've really ever had that Kurt Angle type of guy. I mean, they certainly had wrestlers with amateur backgrounds, but that sort of all-American type of, you know, Jack Swagger, but they don't use him that much anymore. They've never really been able to use it, and just, again, that just pure wrestler, that's a great character to use. Kurt Angle is definitely the best at it, but that doesn't mean that you don't need it. And I think WWE, you know, their, mind you, their roster is amazing right now. I you know what? I will go on record to say WWE's current roster right now is one of the best it's ever had. I think it's the best in wrestling right now. I think it's got such a great eclectic mix. And I don't think anybody can argue that the quality of matches, in particular with this year, on any given night, are mountains better than what they've been putting on 2, 3, 4 years ago. On a night, on a, you know, on a weekly basis, on a nightly basis. But I do think that they're definitely missing a sort of amateur wrestling character that could be one of the things that really completes that roster. But every roster has its deficiencies. But here, Charlie Haas did great. Just loved the suplexes and everything. And then it's like, you saw what could have been a really good singles wrestler if WWE had decided to push him. But, you know, I thought it was a really good starter match. Great heel maneuver by Melina to get the, you know, distraction enough to allow, I think it was Nitro to get the distraction as well with the knee to the back and then the snapshot and, of course, the win. So I think everybody around did a great job in just really making this match a good show opener. Next, we have what are one of two matches of the night. By far, they're the worst matches of the night, and they're really more story building and building of heels and building of characters, and they're not really good matches. I rather refer to them as what they really are, they're piss breaks. It's like the night's just started, we're going to have a series of good matches, and so here's your opportunity to take a piss break. At the beginning of the show and then towards the end of the show. As we have Carlito versus Big Joe with Matt Morgan in Carlito's corner. I think this is because Jesus got busted for drugs or something. I can't remember when he got busted. Unless Jesus was Matt Morgan. And I've completely missed that. anyways. It definitely built Carlito's character. Carlito became one of the best heels I think they had during this period. And a lot of it had to do with, again, mind you, he became so good of a heel that people started to like him, and so he changed to a face, and so, and back and forth. But again, they were really building his character and not his wrestling ability at this time. And this did a very good job of building his character. Big Show, of course, coming off, the WrestleMania where he faced Aki Bono. So he was really a big face at that time. Of course, mind you, we're talking about the Big Show. It's like, what is he going to be tonight, Bob? I don't know. Let's spin the wheel. Wheel of the characters. Turn, turn, turn. Tell us whether he'll be a face or a hern. I have nothing to rhyme with. Oh no, boss. It landed on between heel and face. What do we do now? Bend over and kiss our ass goodbye. I amused myself. But no. I thought it was an okay match. Like I said, there really was nothing special. I only half paid attention, which I think was, again, it built story, but it wasn't an important story. It was an okay match. It was over very quickly. It was there so the fans could have some opportunity to get snacks or whatever. Again, especially if they're just getting situated, because we'd have some better matches later on. And speaking of better matches, our next match is definitely one of the matches that was much better, and one of the matches running for match of the night. As for the Cruiserweight Championship, you had Paul London versus Chavo Guerrero. Now, without a doubt, Chavo Guerrero is one of the most underrated wrestlers that's ever been part of a WWE roster. Again, he was the mainstay of that Cruiserweight division. He was a veteran of that division. And you see it here with his work with Paul London. I thought they did a really, really good job. I mean, they had some botched spots that didn't really look good and kind of hurt the match in compared to what the other matches that would happen of the night would be. But still, it was a really, really solid match. I think the unfortunate thing also, though, is watching this match, I realized that this is the period in which the Cruiserweight division started to fall. Because once you have those, Mount Everest-like highs of the Cruiserweight division, where it was Rey Mysterio and Chavo and all those wrestlers as part of that division, and now you have Rey Mysterio, in particular Rey Mysterio, out of that division, and moving into the main event scene and being part of the program, no one had yet to step up, and no one really did step up to really fill those big shoes. I think they could do it now, though. I think it's one of the reasons why I think they really should bring back the Cruiserweight division. I think there's definitely an opportunity for a Cruiserweight or light heavyweight or sort of, high flyer type of division, especially when you have the likes of Neville, And the likes of Sami Zayn, and you have the likes, you know, I'm sorry, Tyson Kidd, and Kalisto. You have wrestlers that you can build a division around. And because, again, you can't put everybody in an intercontinental storyline, and you can't put everybody in the tag team division line. There has to be somewhere else to put some of these wrestlers. And definitely, it's one of the reasons I'll still and probably always argue for that cruiserweight division. Because there are some really good light heavyweight to cruiserweight type wrestlers. Like I mentioned, Neville, Sami Zayn, even though he's not up on the main roster yet. But Kalisto, Tyson Kidd. When you think about them and think about people in NXT like Sami Zayn, like Finn Balor, would he be a light heavyweight? I can't remember if Hideo Itami would fall into that category. But there are some, you have a lot of good light heavyweight wrestlers. Something I think that could really rival the IGPX, or I apologize if I'm saying it wrong, the IGPW light heavyweight title that's in Japan. They have some good wrestlers over there, but, with Kabushi and all of them, but, you have the potential for a division. Again, it's something that would bring those wrestling fans to watch Raw every Monday night. Because, again, and this comes from somebody who is taking communication. We recently were studying on the theory of TV as far as programming and commercials, everything, and the flow that's meant to keep you on the channel. In that regards, if you have at least one or two divisions that wrestling fans can latch onto, they'll still complain, mind you, but at least they'll be watching. And objectively, that is what WWE wants. But still, this was a really good match. Paul London was very eccentric, but still a very good wrestler. And these two put on a really good program, and this was a really good match. A lot of very interesting, a lot of hard spots that I want to call it, what, it was a senton off the rope to the floor that London did, where he fell very, very hard. They did great work, and Chavo Guerrero is just absolutely professional. And like I said, it's sad because you can see this is where sort of the cruiserweight division started to go down, but at the same point in time, this is it going down. Even at the end of its days, it was still a very good division and putting on a lot of good matches. Our next match of the night had a lot more emotion, though, going into it, as they had been building it throughout the night. And in fact, there was a little segment that built this match before the cruiserweight match. And that, of course, is Booker T versus Kurt Angle. Now, of course, the storyline going into this match was actually quite deserving, to be quite honest. And I'm really surprised WWE... I completely forgot they went with the storyline, but it's in remembrance, it's the thing that I look back now, wow. This really was the age of ruthless aggression of attitude, where they didn't just cross the line, they would jump past it. And I kept running. Because the whole storyline was basically that Kurt Angle wanted to have sex with Booker T's wife and dominate her and force himself upon her. A storyline they could never do today. They couldn't... To be honest, it's not it was a great storyline and I wish they could do it today. It's disturbing then. I'm shocked they did it. They definitely couldn't do it today because, god damn it, everybody would be on the WWE's ass. Which is kind of funny because, again, Booker T beats Kurt Angle and they end up the whole point is at the end of the match, Kurt Angle jumps down, but they get the upper hand, and Kurt Angle initially tries to handcuff Charmel to the ring ropes, but gets turned on him and he gets handcuffed, and then she beats the hell out of him and kicks him in the fucking nuts. So it's not like they didn't show him get him comeuppance, but yeah, the WWE would be absolutely crucified if they did this type of storyline today. And really, that's what this match was entirely built upon. And this was a really good match. These were two of WWE's best. Kurt Angle and Booker T having a really good, really intense, really emotional match. You'd have two of these type of matches. Just solid work from both wrestlers. Booker T cuts coming out of his house with fire and seeming like dominating most of the match. And then Kurt Angle took over. Ultimately Booker T picking up the, I want to say what, inside cradle he got. He didn't do it off it was either a bookend or something. I'm blanking on it. It was a roll up. I'm sorry, it wasn't inside cradle as I kind of looked back at my notes. But you know, just a solid match. Had a lot of emotion to it. And then of course the, you know, aftermath, of the match and everything that went down really led towards it. So, really good match. And then, of course, our next match is yet another piss break, as I'll call it, which I hate to say, but yeah, this was the worst match of the night because it featured a wrestler who really shouldn't be U.S. champion and a wrestler which I'm sure Michael Cole would love for all of us to forget. As Orlando Jordan faced Heidenreich, who for whatever reason was a face, and for whatever reason, somebody, I don't know who, and I really hope he isn't working for the company anymore, thought it would be a good idea to have Heidenreich to where he brings kids and reads his special poems to them. God damn you, WWE. Oh, I'm watching him read to you, little girl. Do you want me to read my special poem to you? I'm like, who thought this would be a good idea? I mean, I understand dirty minds, but damn, you don't have to have a dirty mind to feel completely disturbed and creeped out by this. I mean, God damn it, motherfucker. God damn it. It's like, really? And what's Orlando Jordan gonna do? I mean, what, is he gonna walk up to the kid and make this little girl cry on, like, worldwide television? Or should I say pay-per-view? Are you outside your mind? It's like, there is nothing with this gimmick that works well. At all. And the match was just sloppy. Heidenreich had no skill set. Heidenreich was a monster. That's what he was. When he first came and he was the creepy sort of stalker, really disturbing type of character, the one that would, you know, kidnap Michael Cole and show him things. Goddamn WWE. But that was when he was better. He had no point being a face. He had no point being a face. And no, ultimately having him team with the Road Warrior and be part of the new Road Warriors did not make it better. It made it worse. Okay. It's like, I'm sure he's a great guy. He had no point of being in the WWE. He was, at best, probably in the position that Zack Ryder would be in, right, is now. Zack Ryder has more talented his pinky than Heidenreich, okay? And look where you have Zack Ryder. So, pretty much pissed, but I mean, a match goes pretty much as what you would expect. Orlando Jordan, heel, Heidenreich battles back, but ultimately Orlando Jordan gets to win with a DDT. Again, DDT. Orlando Jordan had no purpose being U.S. champion. It was completely built out of being a heel for JBL's You know, again, battles with John Cena. It's why, again, remember we have reviewed this year's SummerSlam 2005 already. It's one of the reasons everybody cheered when frickin' Chris Benoit beat him in like less than 30 seconds. And now that makes sense, because like he had no purpose being the U.S. champion. I think Orlando Jordan is one of the worst U.S. champions in the history of U.S. champions. And it's just that they had nobody to put it on. And they're like, well, we'll give it to Chris Benoit and he can do something with it. And goddamn did he. You know, Chris Benoit won that U.S. title and held it till the next WrestleMania where he lost to JBL. And my God, did he, like, rarely represent the U.S. title. So, piss break, worst match of the night by far. It would have been better if they just didn't have this match, to be quite honest. There's a bunch of other wrestlers they could have done. Like, hell, this would be a horrible match on SmackDown, even. It's just, there's nothing good with it. But the good thing is, it really puts in perspective just really how good the next match is. As WWE really tries his hand. I say try him because he tried to hand it this at WrestleMania, and it worked so well that they made a whole storyline out of it. And thank you, WWE. Eddie Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio. Now, for those who remember their time in WCW, you know that this is a big rivalry in WCW during its glory days. And WWE finally brought it back. My God. And the genius of this storyline is they had a natural thing built in that, like, I mean, Eddie had beaten Rey a couple times, but it was like one of those things, like, I can't remember if he had beaten him or if he had never really fully beaten him. I'm sure Eddie Guerrero beat him somewhere, but that whole thing like that, his record versus Rey Mysterio was less than stellar. And that just whole natural, like, you can't beat Rey. You can't beat Rey. And that Latino heat just boiling up. And it's like, wow. They really didn't, I mean, it was a gifted storyline to them. They ran with it. And just like, here's your storyline. Not much to it. Now run with it, Rey and Eddie. And my God, Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero ran with it till Eddie died. Which is the really sad part. I mean, I guess if you had to go out on a feud, which, again, I wouldn't say I would want anybody to go out on a feud. But, like, this was Eddie's final big feud, and it was a tremendous feud. And this is the beginning of it. In this match, the back and forth, just the, you know, the return of Eddie Guerrero's sort of brutality to Rey, and just this whole thing about, you know, I'm gonna hurt you, Rey, because I'm better than you. And it's just like the effort of Eddie to, like, just to prove to himself, and as this feud would build, it's just, oh, it was a beautiful feud. This match was just a wonderful match. This is by far match of the night. Or at least it's match of the night. I mean, there's one more match to go. And I think that match also was a great match. I think this match, though, was better. It's not far and away better than the next match we'll talk about. But both of those matches are by far better matches than anything else on this card. But this match in particular, just the emotion and just the intensity, again, kind of like with the Kurt Angle Booker T match, but just so much more. And just the wrestling ability. Rey is just such an innate sense of how to, you know, wrestle injured. And how to make you believe he's hurt. And feel for him. And then Eddie with that brutality is like, you're watching two wrestling gods wrestle each other. It's a work of beauty. It's a fantastic match. The fact of the matter is, if somebody came up to me and said, well, I want to learn more about the Rey Mysterio-Eddie Guerrero rivalry, what match can you suggest to me? I can't, I mean, mind you, the very first one I would suggest is the one from Halloween Havoc, of course, but really, I can't suggest any. Not that you shouldn't watch it, but then saying that I can't suggest any, just watch them all. Because they're just all that amazing. This one's no different. This is a 5-star match just gifted to us before the main event. And it was just amazing and wonderful in the storyline. And just Eddie, of course, losing by disqualification. Like, he can't beat Ray. Just finally takes the chair and whacks Ray Mysterio, gets disqualified, and then just beats him down. And it was a great way to continue the storyline in the feud for a later date. Just, oh, everything about that segment was wonderful. This brings us to our final match of the night. As John Cena, the WWE Championship, defends against JBL, the wrestling god, in an I Quit match. Now, I do remember the build-up. The build-up was wonderful. And you know what? And finally getting to watch this match, getting to watch where the legend was born. You know what? God damn, I really enjoyed this match. I mean, just a lot of intensity and just the way they built and built and built. I mean, make note, this wasn't a wrestling clinic by any means, and they didn't pretend it. And that's one of the things I like about this match, is like, they knew they weren't going to upstage Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio as far as a pure wrestling match, or even Kurt Angle and Booker T. It's like, this is our segment, let's do our thing, we are brawlers. Let's brawl. And my God, the Rumble, Young Men Rumble, these two brawled. And just little nuances in it. Like, the fact of the matter is, again, as part of JBL's character, he was constantly trying to, like, choke, you know, John Cena. Whenever he'd get to a wire, he would try to use it to choke him, make him say, I quit. And he kept going back to it. And then John Cena kept countering it. And again, that was, it's those little nuances. And just the way it built and built towards its climax. Just brutality and blood everywhere. And JBL is starting to have the upper hand as just a big brawler. But, you know, really, where I felt like the match really started to change towards the end is when John Cena, like, you know, as he's being choked, counters and throws JBL's head through a television set. It's like, holy shit. Holy shit. And the way they busted up the limo. It's like, they busted up the limo, tore the door off the limo. The suplex on the roof. Just the way it built up, and then of course, ultimately John Cena taking the exhaust pipe off the truck. And I'm all beat the shit out of you. And JBL Cena going, I quit. I'm like, yeah, I said I quit, but you don't own my soul. Ha, ha, ha. I don't know your soul. Okay. Just torpedoed him with the exhaust pipe, threw him through the glass. Just a perfect way. It was a great end to his storyline because JBL was that great, perfect heel for John Cena as far as starting his title run. And he was a great adversary. I don't think JBL gets enough credit as one of John Cena's best adversaries, because he was the perfect foil for him as far as, like, as his rise to the top and as WWE champion. I mind you, John Cena would, of course, obviously face people with better wrestling pedigree as far as wrestlers, but still, I think JBL was one great heel as far as their feud was concerned, and this is a great match in it. Just, it's a brawl. And it's a good brawl. It's a fun brawl. It's one of those brawls you love to watch. It's the reason why some of John Cena's best matches are last man standing and I quit matches. Because it's like, you see how far the heart goes. And you see it here, and it's why he'd become famous for it. It's why he had the thing that says, never give up. Because John Cena doesn't give up. And this is where that legend started. So, yeah. I thought this was just a great match. As I'll get to, it's not the match of the night, but it's right up there as one of the matches of the night. So, Judgment Day 2005. Let's do our usual stick. We'll go over top three moments. And really the thing about this pay-per-view is that there weren't a lot of real moments. So it's really hard to think about it. Moment number three, Charmel's revenge, when they handcuff Kurt Angle to the ring ropes and she just like slaps and beats the shit out of him and then finishes it with a kick to the nuts. That was a great moment. That's a feel-good moment. Like, Kurt Angle getting his come up, it's like, yeah. Like, not even Taz, who's like, again, in that position of the color commentator, who's like, sort of sides with the heels, he couldn't even defend him. It's like, yeah. Kurt Angle's a despicable human being, and he got what's coming to him. I don't even think King could defend Kurt Angle in that situation. Number two, there was a fantastic 619 by Rey Mysterio. Unlike his WrestleMania 22 version where he slips, it's again one of those things where he like swings around the post and delivers it, but he did it this time without sloughing, and it was just a thing of beauty. My number one spot, and this is a hard thing because I think, like, you know, like I said, I talked about the TV spot. But by far, so many spots. Just the way that I Quit match ended, where it's leading up and I Quit, Leo Wamba still hits you with this thing and throws it at him and throws him through the glass. It's just a great way to end it. It was a great way to end the feud. I can't believe that was the second match. But either way, it was a great way to end the feud. So, my favorite matches tonight, I think it's easy to see which ones. Number three was Kurt Angle versus Booker T. He had a lot of emotion. And it was a really solid match by two great wrestlers. Number two, John Cena defending the title against JBL. It's a fantastic I Quit match. It's just a brawl. It's fun to watch. And again, I really highly suggest watching the JBL-John Cena feud because it's great. And then last but not least, match of the night by far, Eddie Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio. As part of that great feud that would take place this entire summer of 2005, it's just fantastic. Just two great pure wrestling gods going at it. So, at the end of the day, I think Judgment Day 2005 is a really solid pay-per-view. It's got three really good matches that have a lot of emotion, a lot of intensity. And that's the thing about this pay-per-view is, if I have to say one thing about this pay-per-view, is that it was filled with intensity, and I think it's really solid and worth watching. I give it the thing about it though is that there are a couple matches that at best feel like they could be on SmackDown, and for that fact, I mean, like I said, the Orlando Jordan Heidenreich match had no business being on the pay-per-view. It was a horrid match. And, you know, the Carlito Big Show matches, I guess, is okay. And the Paul London travel was good, solid. But that seemed more like it would be a good main event for SmackDown. So at the end of the day, like I said, I do think it's a good pay-per-view. You can, like I said, you can skip that Heidenreich Orlando Jordan match. You know, I give it a solid 3.5 out of 5. Judgment Day, I think it's really worth watching. 2005, I think it's a really good year for WWE, objectively, and in particular the SmackDown brand. And again, mind you, in a couple months, John Cena would transfer to Raw. Or I think it would be the coming month, actually, he would transfer to Raw. It's a really good, solid pay-per-view, I think worth watching. As you know, people bother me because people won't leave me alone. So anyways, that is it for this episode of CMG's Wrestling Reviews. If any emails or comments or any kind, As I was saying, there are several ways you can contact the show. One, you can email us at absolutionnetwork132@gmail.com. You can contact us on Stitcher, which I know I'm having years worth of stuff that I'm going to have to put up there. I know, I apologize. I'm going to get on that. Though I may not get to it till after convention season, or at least until after Anime Next. Either way, but I will get to that. You can contact us and leave us a message there. You can leave us a message on our Facebook page by going to www.facebook.com and liking the Absolution Network. And of course, you can always leave a comment on the website here at www.an.132productions.com. And of course, while you're there, check out all the other 132 Productions content that, of course, includes Shin Tiger Curl, who puts out so much videos each week. He puts out a reaction to Raw every week. Reaction to wrestling news. He has Let's Plays on video games, fighting video games, everything. Check his stuff out. Yeah, John Ramos and his Toku Apocalypse and his Toku videos. And, you know, him and me will be connecting for Anime Next, which I'll talk about in a little bit. And, of course, there's also the Anycast there, the Otaku Momentum, and, of course, my other podcast, which, of course, includes Tom's Prerogative, which I will have a new episode out later this week. I plan on having a new episode at some point in the coming weeks of the Intergalactic Graphic Review. That'll be a lost episode, a collection of things. Once I get done to down to editing that. And of course, don't forget my other podcasts. Actually, before I get into that, I do have a new podcast coming down the pike. I plan also getting out called Toonami D&D. Me and a bunch of friends playing D&D in a Toonami themed D&D campaign. I hope that will be fun for you guys. And of course, my other podcast, which of course includes Comic Book Crazy featuring Hexcast. Comic Book Crazy, my former comic book podcast, and of course Spectacular Webs, and of course my Tokyo SOS podcast, which is my Godzilla podcast. You can find those at www.comicbookcrazy.132productions.com for the comic book stuff, and then for Tokyo SOS, you can find that at www.tokyosos.132productions.com. And of course, while you're at any of these sites, check the sidebar, check out all our friends. This, of course, includes Maddie J and TWK and the WrestleCast, which, as of right now, see, you can only get their stuff on their Podomatic page. So go to Podomatic.com and search for the WrestleCast for that stuff. Michael Bailey and Views to the Long Box, and of course, From Crisis to Crisis. Brad Douglas and the Spider-Man Crawl Space. Spidey Dude and the Clone Saga Chronicles, Steven Schleicher and the Critical Hit Podcast, of course, Scott Gardner and his Tutu Freaks Podcasting Network. So that is it for this episode 46 of CM Jews Wrestling Reviews. Next week, like I said, we are going down a road to the extreme, because I'm going to tell you this, episode 50, we will be reviewing One Night Stand 2006, which I think is a perfect complementary to the very first episode of CMG as I did, where I reviewed One Night Stand 2005. So we're down the road, and pretty much we're going to be going extreme all the way through. And it started with tonight, but it really starts next week when we review ECW Wrestlepalooza. So until next time, my wrestling fans, I want you to remember one goddamn thing about me. CM Jew. I'm the best Jew in the world!
You're all I have and you're all that I need. Each and every day I pray to get to know you. Please wanna be close to you. Yes, I'm so hungry. You're like water for my soul when it gets thirsty. Without you, there's no me or the air that I breathe. Sometimes the world is dark and I just can't see. With these demons around, all around, I bring me down to negative vibes. But I believe, yes, I believe, I said I believe. I stand on my two feet, one be brought down on one knee. I fight with all of my might to get these demons to flee. Our gems raised by a blaze, burn bright. lighting, I believe Hashem's rays. My uplift firm brighten, I believe. How the darkness comes light, twilight unto the heights. Crown lights burning up, out to the twilight. So thank you to my God, now I finally got it right. And I'm fighting all of my heart, and all of my soul, and all of my mind. What's the feeling? My love will be for holding and sealing. I give myself to you from the essence of my being. And I sing to my God songs of love and healing. I want Mashiach now. Time it starts a feeling. What's this feeling? My love will be holding and sealing. I give myself to you from the essence of my being. And I sing to my God songs of love and healing. I want Mashiach now. Stripping away the layers and reveal your soul. You gotta give yourself up and then you become whole. You're a slave to yourself and them don't even know. Them mother to live that fast life, but